Gospel of Luke chapter 24. There's so many different wonderful examples and stories that are related to the resurrection. And this has been one of my favorites. And I've went to this text a lot of different times. And I just pray the Lord will help us tonight and that you'll see that the Lord wants to be with you in the situation that you're in right now. If it's a discouraging, difficult time, the Lord will be with you right there in the midst of it. This is Luke 24, verse 13. And I'm going to read, I'll read several verses here just to give us the account here in Luke 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Most believe that was about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication or conversation are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? He said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening. The day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Isn't it amazing how we can be blinded by trouble and by disappointment? It is amazing how that the things that we have known for years to be true. Now, these were disciples. One is the only one that's named is his name is Cleopas. Most believe that the other one was Luke. And since he's the writer, he's not identifying himself. in this account, whether it was Luke or whoever that it was. We just know that there were two disciples, one unnamed, the other in, other man was Cleopas. And they have been right in the middle of all that's going on in Jerusalem. They're right there in the middle of it all. And they had witnessed it up to a particular point. And then for some reason, they just gave up. They just lost heart. And along the way, I mean, they had heard the report of these women who had went to the tomb and found it to be empty. They had had, you know, some understanding, and it had been, you know, they were right there with the rest of the disciples when they heard all of those things that were going on. But somehow trouble and problems can blind you, and unbelief can blind you and keep you from seeing even things that you know to be true, causing you to doubt that God is really doing, or that He is really who He says He is, and that He can perform and fulfill what He has promised. Just like our brother testifying here tonight, that you can serve the Lord for 45 years or however long, 50 years, but yet the enemy, he never gives up. He gets you down in a particular time, and he'll try to make you believe that God isn't who He says that He is, that His word isn't true, and the promises of God are not true. And so here are two disciples who have witnessed a lot of things, including the miracles of the Lord, the one that we described this morning there in the resurrection of Lazarus, and all the promises that Jesus gave concerning His own resurrection. They had heard His words, they had witnessed His power and witnessed His miracles, but now it didn't all come together like they expected it to. And so now they're leaving, disappointed. And I was reading about what one commentator said about this story, and I never was much in English. I was no good at all. I did like literature because I like to read stories and things of that sort. But one writer said that that this is called a literary irony, that all the readers already know what's going on. They already know. They can see it. They know that Jesus is resurrected from the dead, and these men are all down and out and all defeated and discouraged. But the reader that's reading it, we already know that they really don't have any reason to be discouraged. And I really think that's oftentimes what you find yourself under the cloud of your present situation. And it just seems to weigh heavily upon you. And so all the things that you know to be true and that you have believed to be true, you just have difficulty with them because you're face to face with this problem. You're face to face with this unbelief and that, and this disappointment and discouragement. Let me tell you, it can weigh heavily upon you. Heavily upon you. And the devil, he'll tell someone that's been saved for years, you're not saved. He'll do everything that he possibly can to cast doubt and defeat and discouragement in your way. Now, here's two men who have witnessed the power of God. They have sat at the teaching of Jesus Christ. But here they are because of, you know, all these things. They just gave up too quick. They lost heart too quickly. And they head out for Emmaus, 7-mile trip. Scripture says that as they're making this journey to Emmaus, it says they talked together. Verse 15 says they communed together and they reasoned together. Both of those words, the original Greek words, it's talking about the fact that they're having a discussion, but this is not just a little talk that they're having. I mean, they are upset. They are disturbed. This is a communication back and forth, and really their discussion has to do with, was Jesus really who He said He was? The probability of it. And if He was not, I mean, they're doubting now because Jesus truly was crucified. And they saw Him put in the tomb, and they were a part of the group of the disciples that the Bible says that they were hiding for fear of the Jews. They were overwhelmed But they're troubled. You know, when you have got a burden, a cloud of unbelief in your life, some situation that has come against you in your life, all the promises of God, all the things that you have known to be true, you have a hard time seeing beyond that thing. It's right in front of you. That trouble, that unbelief, that circumstance in your life, it's right in front of you, and it just blocks everything. It obscures all of your view and all of your experiences and all of your knowledge of the things of God. Literally, what had happened is that their eyes just became blinded. It says that their eyes were holden. I have to say that in reading this account again, that I'm so encouraged that no matter what pathway you're on, and this road to Emmaus was a pathway of discouragement. It was a pathway of losing heart, hopelessness. And that's the discussion. We thought this, he was the Messiah. We thought he was the deliverer. And the Bible says that Jesus joined himself to them. He just walked up beside them and joined himself. Now, I just want you to be reminded of a couple of things here tonight. Number one, you may not be able to see clearly in the situation that you're in right now. And it may be hard for you to see that Christ is really working and he's on the throne and that he's coming through in your behalf. But be assured of this one thing. The road you're on as a believer, he's with you. Amen. He's walking with you. He's right there with you. You may not feel him. You may not even recognize him. These disciples were so overwhelmed with their grief and their disappointment that the Bible says that their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. Sometimes your trouble and your disappointment, the thing that you're up against, it's so overwhelming that your sight, your spiritual sight, your faith, your confidence in God, you can't see clearly. Jesus is with you. He's walking with you. He's right there. You may not even be able to recognize him. You may not be able to realize that he's right there with you. Sometimes we do go through things and we wonder, God, where are you? It doesn't seem like that you are here with me in the midst of all of this trouble, but he's with you. He's with you. You may not be able to see him, but he's there. Amen. Sometimes our eyes can get so clouded by our worries and our troubles and our problems. You can literally get so overwhelmed that it's hard for you to even see clearly. Even things that you have known and that you have understood. That's why that Jesus joined himself to these disciples. Their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And whenever Jesus asked this question, here in verse 17, you know, Jesus don't ask questions because he don't know the answer. We know he knows all the answers. But he does ask questions for a reason. It was for their benefit. It was for their benefit and for their strengthening them and helping them. They were in some dark moments of hopelessness and they have left. Let me tell you, there's some things that can happen to you when you get discouraged. And you don't need to stay in that place of discouragement. You may be discouraged, but don't stay there. Don't stay there. Understand that the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And he's the one that can open your eyes. Amen. And help you to see. You may be discouraged. You may be frustrated. I have sometimes that problem. Sometimes my discouragement goes hand in hand with just frustration. Meaning that there are things that I want to do or I want to work out or I want to happen. But everything that I try, it doesn't seem to make it happen. And I get discouraged with that. I get frustrated with that. But sometimes something happens to you in your spirit. You know, faith is really, faith is the vision or the eyes of the spirit. And whenever you're overwhelmed by circumstances that are in your life, then faith becomes darkened. And it's hard for you to see and to believe what you need to believe. Let me tell you, here's some things that happen to you when you get frustrated and discouraged. Number one, this happened to these disciples. You walk away from the very thing you need. That happens to people. And it's a peculiar thing. And I have been a pastor for a long, long time. But it's a peculiar and a strange thing to me because I've witnessed this over and over again. People get in trouble. They have problems. They have needs. And what do they do instead of running to God and running to the altar and seeking after God with all of their heart? Now, some do that. But I've witnessed many, many times people, they just get hit head on with trouble and problems and they walk away from the very thing they need. They need the Lord. Do you know that they just barely missed the revelation of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus was in the disciples were in a room hiding for fear of the Jews, and you remember what happened. That Jesus just miraculously stepped through the wall and there he was. And he revealed himself to those disciples, but apparently these two disciples had just left. They must have just left. And they didn't see him. The very thing that they needed and that would have been the answer to all of their worries and their problems, it would have been taken care of if they would have just stayed with it. Stayed there, not lost heart. They just took off down this dusty road. I'm going home. Amen. I'm just frustrated. I'm just going to pick up my toys and go home. I'm just frustrated. I'm just discouraged. And so I'm just going to quit. I've talked to people about that. I see them missing, not in church, and go to them and talk to them or give them a call and say, well, this and this happened or that happened. And you could tell it was all the devil is jumping all over them. And they say, well, I'm just not going to go back anymore. I'm not going to be there anymore. I'm not going to go to church anymore. I'm just going to walk away. The very thing that they need. That's what happens when you get under the cloud of discouragement and frustration. You walk away from the very thing you need. You give up too quick. I just encourage you if you're feeling, darkness and this oppression and this discouragement. Don't walk away from God. Don't walk away from the church. Don't walk away from the people of God. Press into it. Press into it. Get in the altars. Get in the things of God. Get in the Word of God. Get more involved in the work and the ministry. Make yourself available to God, because if you'll stay with it, God's going to come through for you. Amen. Another thing about discouraged people is a lot of times, people are discouraged because their expectations were not satisfied. And they had bad expectations, false expectations. They were disappointed. And that was going on here in these disciples. They said, we thought he was the one. And you'll notice that everything that they said all had to do with past tense, with the past. By the way, you'll really be a person who lives in discouragement if you always live in the past. If you always live in the past. We thought he was the prophet. We thought he was, he was a man mighty in deeds and in words. They went through the list. We thought he was the one. We're disappointed. We're discouraged. And it all had to do with what they thought and what they believed about him. And it's all past tense. But as we talked about this morning, Jesus is not living in the past. Sure, he was the God of yesterday and he will be tomorrow, but he's the God of right now. Right now. Isn't it interesting that Jesus was right there walking with them? And they said to him, you mean you don't know about what's happened in Jerusalem? Are you the only person in the whole region who doesn't know what's going on? What an irony that they were talking to Jesus, the very one, the very answer. Amen. Many times he's just that close and we're so blinded that we can't see and we can't believe and we can't experience the faith that we need. There's an answer though here in this text. Stay with me here for just a few more minutes. They question. When you're discouraged, you question God. You question whether or not, that he is really going to do what he said he would do. You question the Word of God. You wonder about it. And you have doubts in your mind about all of those things that God has promised. Let me tell you, God's promises, God is a God who will keep his word. Amen. He's not going to let you down. He's going to keep his word. But some of our problem has to do with our confidence and our timing and trusting God and waiting on God and believing that he will work in his own good will, in his own good time, and that God is right there in the midst of your discouragement and what's going on in your life. Now, he drew near to them,
And they had been communicating, and from what I could understand in the text, what was going on, this was like a heated conversation. I don't know, it might have even been like an argument. The Greek words indicate that there was like this fiery conversation. We thought he was the one. And maybe the other one is saying, well, maybe he still will be the one. Back and forth, doubt and not really, just confused and not really knowing what's going on in this situation. But there he was, right there with them. Right there with them. Right in the time that you're all discouraged and even questioning God and what he is doing and how he's doing it. Oftentimes, we have to be reminded of the fact that God's ways are higher than our ways. And he doesn't do things the way we would expect that he would. That's why sometimes that our frustration and our expectation isn't realized. Because we expected it all to happen a certain way and we believed that it was going to happen, you know, some particular way. But you just have to trust that the Lord knows and he will work and he is working and he's with you. You're not alone. He's right there with you. When you're discouraged, what do you need? When you're discouraged, well, you need an eye-opening experience. That's what I'm calling this tonight, Brother James. An eye-opening experience. Amen. That's what you need. Because when your eyes are all clouded and you can't see, you're just blinded by your trouble. I don't know about you, but I have been there. I have gone through some difficulties like you have. I have had some trouble and some problems. I've had worries and things that overwhelm me. Problems in my own personal life. Problems in my family, problems in ministry, and many times if you can just get loaded down with all of these things and all the things that you know and you've experienced, it seems so far away. And you can't see the reality of God's power and his presence. But the answer was right here. Amen. And I love this, starting with verse 27, beginning at Moses, all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures of things concerning himself. Now, what he wasn't telling them anything that they didn't know. They had been with him. And they knew what Jesus had done. And they knew, but here was Jesus who was just coming to them. And all of this time, he began to expound to them. There is power in the Word of God. There is power in the Word of God. He expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning themselves. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him. Abide with us, for it's toward evening and the day is far spent. He went in to tarry with them. Let me tell you, the thing that will bring you out of your unbelief and your discouragement is time with the Lord. Time with the Word of God. Amen. Pour yourself into the things of God. Into the Word of God. Amen. And God will open up your eyes. God will reveal to you the things. And all of this, it was like scales had come over their eyes that they couldn't see. They couldn't even recognize who he was. And he was the very one that they were longing for and looking for. But they didn't see him. That's what trouble and discouragement can do to you. Came to pass as he sat at meat with them. He took bread and blessed it. And break and gave to them. There it was. It was in this communion, fellowship. You know, all that time, they were just thinking about their trouble. They were thinking about what they were facing. And they were so overwhelmed whether they couldn't see him. But finally, they sat down. They took the time. They sat down with him. He had already expounded to them the scriptures concerning Christ. And then they sat down with him. And this was a reminder to them. Because it had just been just a few days before that they had sat with him and he had broke bread and ministered to them and gave to them. And it was in this account, it was in this time that there was this, it was such a revelation, an eye-opening experience. They saw him. Amen. Glory to God. Their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Now he joined himself to them. He ministered to them. And he brought them to the place that they finally saw who he was once again. Amen. Folks, we do need, a lot of times, we need an eye-opener. We do. We need an eye-opening experience. We need some time with the Lord. Oh, Brother Blue was talking about the other night about that busy soldier, that business, always busy. Amen. Everybody gets so busy. And this is one of those times of the year. And I don't know that there isn't so much to do, so many things that you've got to get taken care of and get arranged and planned and busy, 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 busy. If you're not careful, you'll lose sight of the very things that we're supposed to be about. Amen. The work of the Lord, the ministry, and serving the Lord with all of our hearts. Suddenly in the breaking of the bread, suddenly it was that time of communion and fellowship. That time with the Lord, that intimate time, that personal time, that time alone with Him. It was in that time, suddenly their eyes are open and they see Him. They see Him for who He is. And we really need Him. Maybe some of you here tonight are going through some kind of a discouraging, difficult time, and what you need is an eye opener. Amen. You need an eye opener. It comes from the time with Christ, time with the Lord, time in His presence. Intimate time with the Lord. Amen. A time in the Word. Understanding and hearing from hearing. Hearing His voice. And it was in that breaking of the bread. And they remembered it. They remembered the experience. They remembered that this was the Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 32 it says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way? And while He opened to us the Scripture, they remembered that there was something going on while Jesus, when He joined Himself to them and He began to commune with them, there was something of a fire in their spirit. Amen. As a result of this time with the Lord, this started out with a heartbreak and it's ending with a heart burn. Amen. Their heart's on fire. They're stirred once again. They're so excited that it was an uncommon thing for anyone to travel off after dark, especially a 7-mile journey. They're up. As soon as they realize what has happened and Jesus Christ has revealed Himself to them and their eyes are opened up, here they go. Amen. They go back to the rest of the disciples. And they return back to the place. Well, that's what needs to happen to people who get discouraged and they just drop out and forsake God and forsake the house of God and blame God and blame the preacher and blame the people of God. It's everybody else's fault that I'm going through this and I'm all discouraged. No, what you need is some time with the Lord. You need to get alone with Him. You need to be in the presence of God. You need to allow the Lord to speak to you through His Word and just ignite a fire in your spirit once again. Amen. And once He does, then you'll go back to where you need to be. You'll go back and realize that the rest of the disciples, they're having a great celebration. Amen. Glory to God. They rose up the same hour. It's in the evening. It's after dark. They make that 7-hour trip back to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11. They found the other disciples there gathered together, them that were with them, and they were saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Amen. Glory to God. They were having a celebration. I mean, this was a wonderful time of worshiping God and saying, praise God, it's the truth. Peter saw Him. He's alive. He is not dead. You don't have any reason to be discouraged or defeated. He is alive. Amen. The Lord is risen indeed. It appeared to Simon, and they told what things were done in the way and how He was known of them in the breaking of bread. Hallelujah. How does He reveal Himself to us? He reveals Himself to you in the Word, in His presence, time alone with the Lord, time with Jesus. Amen. And in those experiences, the Lord reveals Himself. And the scales fall off that have formed on your eyes. And the faith is restored in your heart because you can now see again like you saw before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, every Every believer, anyone who's ever followed the Lord has had times like this. David had times when he was so overwhelmed. His heart was overwhelmed. He was so troubled. And one time he talked about the fact that he said, my feet have almost slipped. I almost lost my footing. I almost gave up. But then I went into the sanctuary. I went into the sanctuary. Then I could see. Then I had an understanding of what was going on. Isn't it true that many times people, they run away from the very thing they need? They leave too soon. They forsake the Lord when they're really in need. Amen. They question God when they should be listening to the voice of the Lord. So don't beat yourself up so much if you're having a time of discouragement. David did, and you know, Elijah did. Great men of God have gone through times where they, you know, many of the prophets, I believe it was Elijah, just said, Lord, I want you to just kill me. I can't take this anymore. Just take me out. Amen. I mean, he was down. He was discouraged. Let me tell you, if you're walking down that road, if you're on that dusty road of hopelessness and discouragement, despair, he's with you. Amen. He's right there with you. Not only is he with you, but he's got the answer. Amen. He'll talk to you. He'll give you truth. He'll strengthen you. He'll edify you. He'll build you up in truth and in the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. The fire's gone out sometimes in the hearts of people. You need to get that fire stirred up once again. Amen. Stir up that fire. Stir it up. Amen. That comes from times in the presence of the Lord. I'm so looking forward to this week. I'm always so challenged by these men and women of God who are working for God. You hear about their troubles and their challenges and their successes and their victories. I always come out of these meetings just so blessed, so inspired. Something about getting in the presence of God. Amen. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would give to those in this meeting tonight who are going through times when they can't seem to see clearly. Lord, their eyes are holding. They can't see you. Even though you're right there with them, they can't see you, Lord. But I just pray, Lord, that you would manifest yourself to them this very night. Help them, Lord, not to walk away from what they need, but Lord, to press in to the things that they need. To get along with you, to get in your word, to be in that place of prayer and communion with you, Lord. To spend that time of closeness and intimacy, Lord, with you. Communing with you, Lord, because it's in that closeness, it's in that time, Lord, that you can open our eyes. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. And light a fire within us, oh Lord. That the enemy would not be able to defeat or to hinder or to discourage us. But we'd hold on to you. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, give us an eye opener. An eye opening experience in your presence. I pray, oh Lord. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. There's nothing to be ashamed. You shouldn't be ashamed of the fact that you're walking on that Emmaus road tonight. Don't be discouraged. Don't let the enemy destroy you, defeat you. Don't let discouragement or frustration or unfulfilled expectations. Lord, I thought you would do it this way. Or even questioning God. Don't let those things stop you or discourage you. Spend some time in his presence. Amen. Where is he at? Well, he's right there. He's right with you. He's joined himself with you. He's with you. You may not feel him. You may not see him. It may feel like he's a long way off, but he's right there. Hallelujah. What you need to do is reach out to him. Reach out. Reach out to the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Before we all pray tonight, I just wonder, there may be some of you, and you know, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but if you're going through a real difficult time, if you are finding, you know, in your own life, you really feel like you're walking down that dusty Emmaus road. You feel alone, you feel worried and frustrated and troubled and heaviness. The Lord's here tonight to help you. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord is here to minister to you if you'll just press in to Him. Amen. So if you're feeling this, I know that the Lord wouldn't just impress these verses upon me and this theme upon my heart for no reason. I know it's true. I know that there are those of you here tonight that you're dealing with these issues. Why don't you come and let the Lord help you? Why don't you come to the Lord and let the Lord help you? Amen. Before we all pray, if there's anyone that you're dealing with some circumstance and you're having difficulty even seeing that God is there, you're feeling like you've been forsaken or whatever the worry or the trouble that you're in, maybe you're just questioning God, I want to ask you to step out. Just you step out in faith and come here to this altar and let's pray together. Let's believe God. I believe that before you leave this service tonight, that you can get your eyes open. You can be seeing much more clearly when you leave this place. There could be a fire ignited in your heart and in your spirit tonight. If you'll just reach out to the Lord. Anyone? Anybody? Why don't you come? Anyone? You really need help from the Lord. Come right on. Right now. Anybody? Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me tell you, you can get under a heavy load. You can get under a heavy burden. Sometimes you wonder where the Lord is. Amen. These sisters right here, there may be some others of you. Anybody else? You need help from God. You need help from the Lord. Well, He's here. He's here in this place. He's here to help you, to minister to you in your need. Anybody else? You want to come around this altar? Anyone? There probably are others of you. Go ahead, step out.